The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, interesting, stimulating Gospel passage. That we have any number of things are going on here. How is Jesus moving ahead, giving voice to his mission and his ministry? Right here again. Right. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So we have that great reference again. Right. How are we being led by the Spirit? Are we being led by the Spirit? Are we giving ourselves over to the Spirit's lead as those who have been born again, right? We've been born again by faith and baptism, right? By baptism, we have been plunged into the death of Jesus to rise with him, to share in his risen life, to share in his kingdom-bringing life, his love-conquering death life. We've been made to share in it, and we share in it by following the Spirit's lead. So how about we focus on that? But there's much more, of course, going on in the passage as well. We see this is the one reference there is to the serpent in the desert in the whole of the New Testament, and we've had it before. We have it in the Lenten season that we meditate on this reality. What Jesus is saying here to Nicodemus, just as the serpent was lifted up in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. But there has to be, I don't know, some new understanding perhaps of it, some new participation in it, by virtue of the fact that we're now in the Easter season. I think it gives us an opportunity to look at it perhaps from a little bit different angle. Whereas in the Lenten season, I'd be inclined to say something like, what do we see on the cross? But we see the sin in which we're all stuck. And we see what God has done about it. But there is something, I think there is something more to be said about it in the Easter season. I think it's to see the cross, to see Jesus on the cross as the victory of God. And having defeated the great powers that had long enslaved humanity, sin and death, Jesus now living on the other side of that, Jesus risen from the dead, gives us access to his own blessed life that once made its way through death and came out the other side. So it's for us perhaps a more joy-filled reflection, but we also see it, I think, in light of the resurrection as our commission. So what does this mean? It's not just early in the morning. How to piece this all together? Just keeps talking. It'll happen. Okay. All right, Lord. I will follow your lead. The Spirit is blowing in my head in ways that I don't understand. Anyway, yes. So what do we have then? What we see is the safe passage to life. But we see. The way of life, and I don't know if that gives you heavy heart or not. It's a very solemn heavy reality that this, the cross of Christ Jesus, is life. And we go, oh, I'd prefer it if it didn't look like that. That's okay. So that's on one hand, right? I'd prefer if it looked a little different than that. But the other is that it's like, okay, if that is life, I want it. So because my I don't know if I'd say my appetites, my natural desires, and so on, they're for life. We're all, I would say, innately pro-life, right? We're all born pro. We all want more, and we all want more of it. We're probably innately pro-abundant life. We want as much of it as we can get, but that's how we get it. And it's not like a downcast look. It's like that's the victory that Jesus achieved. That's the victory that I can now implement. It's the victory that he can achieve in me. And that victory is nothing other than the way of self-gift. Now, okay, just one kind of more liturgical comment. Because we're going to hear in the preface this week, it's the second preface for Easter. We're going to hear something like, if I'm getting it right, the halls of heaven are thrown open to the faithful. Something like this. The gates of heaven are thrown open to the faithful. Something like this. And we're inclined to hear that as, okay, cool, like heaven is open, so when I die, I can go there. That's not the point. It's not the point that's being made. The point that's being made is that with the gates of heaven open, the life of heaven can flood the earth. That's the point. These two spheres, heaven and earth, were always made to be interlocking and overlapping realities, right? So, you know, God kind of pops up on the scene as we make our way through the scriptures. And he ends up, not that he ends up in the temple, but the temple is one of the places where, is the place where that overlap and that interlock is most significant. But Jesus is the new temple. And so then, for the head, so now the body. We are made to be the place of overlap between heaven and earth. My friend, this is not something new. You pray for it every day, right? The Our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So this overlap is necessary to our understanding of the way that heaven and earth work. But here in Jesus, especially achieved by his resurrection, is now this flooding of the earth with the power and the life of heaven, which is nothing other than the life of self-gift, God's own life himself. So this is, now we live at the place of overlap. But look at what the place of overlap was for him. It's the place of the world's deepest suffering. It's the place of struggle. It's the place of injustice. It's the place of ugliness. It's the place, we're sent in there. We're sent in there to live the life that God inspires in us, right? This is the Spirit blowing where it wills. Hey, people you should be able to look at the Christian people from the outside and not understand a thing of what they're doing from the outside. And you would say, yeah, they blow with the wind because they don't know what we're doing. And we're running to the place of the world's deepest suffering. Why would you do that? That's what we have to do. We run to the place of the world's deepest injustice. And we fight and we work for justice. All with love, though. All with love, lest it be our agenda. Which is a big part of, it's a problem that's going to collapse on itself before it gets started. But that's what it should be. So we following Jesus. That's not a messy accident. That's the intention of God. So too with us, right? This is what God intends for his body now. To bear the burdens of the world and to do it with great love. And that's what building his kingdom looks like. So we have to go out with great love. That's what it is. That's what our impulse is. That's the life of God at work in us and working through us. We go out with great love, and wherever it's most needed, that's where we go. And we go there and we lift people up and we give them strength. We walk alongside of them. Right? We renew them with the love that is now renewing us. But that's it. I don't know. Too much, I said. Too much. It's too much. I get it. But this is it. There is intellectual foundation to what we not only believe, but how we live. And this is what it is. This is the thrust of how we're to live. We have to go where the Spirit leads, but it's going to be a place where love is needed. Love is never superfluous. And that's what he's lighting our lives up, so that we can bring that light, the light of his love, to every corner of creation.